to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
And we are live across the airwaves of Rant Entertainment Media, rantemradio.com. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and a million of other platforms. Welcome to our pre-show for WWE SummerSlam. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Sunday, and we're doing things a little different today. We're doing the pre-show now, so if you're listening to us live right now, great. That's fantastic. And if you want to hear this show again, don't worry. We're going to rebroadcast this program in its entirety in our normal pre-show time slot of 5 p.m. So you definitely want to listen to the replay. We'll re-air it, like I said, at 5 p.m. during the WWE kickoff. I am Double A, being joined, as always, by Tony C.
Hey, yo.
And we're being joined by the Silver One, Mr. Surfer.
Good afternoon, good evening when you hear this on replay.
And, okay. And I believe we're going to be joined by the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rand, just a little bit. So yes, it'll be it's going to be fun. We're going to be here for about 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours, previewing SummerSlam. You know, we haven't done a pre-show. We haven't done pay-per-view coverage in quite some time. So yeah, this will be interesting.
Have you done it? The first one since WrestleMania?
This will be our first pay-per-view, I believe, since WrestleMania.
So, Dad, we're only doing the Big Four now, huh?
Well, we're scheduled to do the Big Showdown or the Superstar Showdown in October, which that'll be a rarity for us because that's going to be a Saturday morning pre-show.
Wait, we didn't do one for the Saudi Arabia show?
No, we didn't because it was a Friday morning show and I had to work.
Oh, okay.
So, but we're going to do one for the Australia show, and that'll be in October. So, and we may do one for the female pay-per-view, too. So we'll see. We'll see how things turn out. Of course, lots to talk about. NXT TakeOver last night. I'll give my thoughts, you know, because I watched it. I don't know if you guys watched it. But I saw it. I'll give my thoughts on it here just a little bit. But once again, if you are listening to this program and it's 5 p.m., we are not live because we're live at 2 p.m. But yeah, whether you're listening to us live or you're listening to us on a delay, it doesn't matter because get this. This is what we're going to do. If something substantial happens at the conclusion of that pay-per-view or in general during the course of the pay-per-view, we're going to do a post-show. But if the pay-per-view is an absolute wash, we're not doing a post-show. There's nothing that would justify us getting on the air at what possibly could be maybe midnight, because you know there's going to be an overrun tonight, to do a post-show.
You know, a lot of people will tune in for the post show because something is going to go down.
Well, then you
that
do.
It's going to have people.
Then you do the post show. Either.
I wish I could.
Anyways, so yes, so we're going to see
if everything goes.
If something big happens, we're going to do a post show. If the pay per view is flat, like an old soda. We're not doing a post show. To hell with the audience.
Yes, I did say to hell with the audience.
Tune in on Tuesday night when you can hear us vent about what happened at SummerSlam. With that, we'll say hello to the Impact player, Mr. Philip J. Rea.
It's G, damn it. What's up?
I know, man.
G's for going places.
Phil, he's an OG.
Not as old as you, Surfer, but thank you.
I got a question.
You're original G. That's an OG.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
Me and Double A had a question for Surfer before we get into wrestling. you know, with the Queen of Soul passing away the other day. I just, me and Double A wanted to know, Surfer, did you ever take her out on a date?
Oh. You know what?
And if you did, was it before or after she was big?
Oh, listen. I'm going to tell you something y'all going to find this funny. Sunday night,
yeah.
I went to a concert to see Gladys Knight. And the audience, the Queen was sitting there, right?
Because the concert's not anything without the Pips.
She walked past me as I was walking past her. And then Fox News put a picture up after she died. Now, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I heard about that, but you're not answering our question. Back in the day, did you have a flame?
That woman's the age of my mother. What are you talking about?
So
exactly.
Come
you
on
still
now.
You dodging our question.
No, I never
did. Did you and Aretha Franklin have a fling one time when you were passing through
Detroit?
No.
Now you did tell us you used to frequent Detroit back in the day.
I never said that.
On these airwaves.
I mean,
we inquire minds want to know.
We know you made a pass.
The closest I've been to Detroit was the airport once.
I know you made a pass.
There we go. That we saying.
I know you made a pass at. I know you made a pass at Aretha, at Patti LaBelle, Gladys Knight, Donna Summer when she was alive. I mean, come on.
Well, the only legitimacy is Patti LaBelle. I think she's a Philly girl, so.
Well,
he just told us he was in Detroit on the layover.
Yeah.
Well, that and didn't Surfer manage the 5 Heartbeats back in like 68?
Maybe, I think so.
Me and Double A, when that news broke, that was one of the first questions I wanted.
You know, that came across
our mind.
I called in to talk wrestling.
We are going to talk wrestling.
We understand that.
We're
in the A block of the show. We're in the A block of the show.
You're grieving. We know you're grieving. You know, because you know.
I believe, Surfer. I think you hit that. I ain't gonna even lie.
Anyways,
if I had a vote, I would say you know.
It feels like a Tuesday night.
And you, and right before you hit it, you said, "Respect this." So.
Where's my belt, man? I need my belt. Where's my belt? It's inside.
All right.
Get my belt.
All right. Anyways, let's talk wrestling.
I'm just saying.
Who won the close I came to a celebrity?
Who'd you come close to? That guy you went to his show in Philly?
No.
Or that rapper that you drove to? You went all the way to New York for and spent the night in Penn Station to see?
No, I went out with the cousin of Phyllis Hyman. That's the closest
who
I ever came to put. Phyllis Hyman.
Who the hell is Phyllis Hyman?
Oh my God!
She's
I'm
a singer
you.
Back in the day. He might have did hit Phyllis Hyman, but he broke Aretha's Hyman probably too. Yeah. If you get my drift, I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I was joking.
Yeah, I said it.
That was the name of Big Surf's first single,
Mike.
Respect This.
Mike, ring my bell.
Okay. Anyways.
There you go, you know.
Anyways,
we got to
talk wrestling because, like I said, it is SummerSlam weekend. Doesn't feel like SummerSlam weekend because there's just so much stuff going on in wrestling. Some stuff is bigger than others. SummerSlam is kind of like an afterthought, you know, considering that in October we've got the Australia show, the women's pay-per-view is in October. All In is 2 weeks from, it's in 13 days, and like I said, there'll be a network contingency at the Sears Center. And
yep.
Why is a company that's in dire straits still have a name on a building?
I was just about to ask you that. See you.
I don't know.
What they said,
they closed a bunch of stores, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, but still.
Yeah.
You talking about the Sears building?
We're talking about the Sears Arena.
Yeah.
Oh, the Sears Arena.
Yeah.
Oh, That money was already paid out. Don't they pay that money up front?
Yeah, but you got to renew it.
You got to pay for the name. Yeah, you got to pay for the name to be on your marquee.
Right, but you pay that up front, right?
No, you pay it out.
No, it's like continuously paid. Like, sir, for your football stadium's the Lincoln Financial Field, right? And then you have Citizens Bank Park. They lease those names to the city every couple of years. It depends on the city what kind of contract they have with the city. Yeah. So, you know, Citizen Bank or Lincoln Financial or MetLife Stadium.
Yeah, right. I thought you pay like 10, 20 years in advance.
You might. Yeah, that might be true. It depends on which state you're in. They may have paid for like a 50-year thing. I don't know.
You remember how it used to be the First Union Center, now it's the what?
It's the Wells Fargo.
But
that's because the banks went out of business and they kept getting bought.
The reason why those names changed because those banks got bought out by the next bank.
Didn't I just say that?
That's what we're saying.
I'm saying it wasn't a thing where someone else came and paid for the name. Once they owned the bank that had the name on there, then everything changed. It's still the same contract.
Did Atlanta build a new arena for the Hawks, or they just turned the Omni into the Phillips Center?
No, they built a new arena.
Whatever it's called.
They built a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I believe they tore down the Omni without the Phillips Arena even being put up.
That's been done before in other places, too, though.
But anyways, this edition of SummerSlam, and of course all the programming related to SummerSlam, emanates from the Barclays Center, which seems to be WWE's new home. And we're going to find out tonight, because Sasha Banks has a big mouth, we're going to find out tonight that SummerSlam is going back to Los Angeles next year. You know, I don't care that they're going to Los Angeles. I really don't. However, I don't understand how a city like Miami has never held SummerSlam. We've had all the other big pay-per-views except SummerSlam. Okay, LA, the beach, and this and that. But I was tuning into an old SummerSlam today, SummerSlam 1990. It was from a place like Philadelphia. You know, that's not summerly. That's not beach-worthy.
Didn't they have SummerSlam over the pond one year, right?
Yeah, what the hell does...
Yeah, I'm watching it right now, 92.
What the hell does England have to do with the beach?
Hold on. My wife just came back from England and France. England's got a beautiful beachfront area. She went to Calais.
Over. WCW used to have Bash at the Beach in Biloxi.
Wow. Yeah, that was Beach Blast in Biloxi. Well, wait a minute. Biloxi's on the Gulf Coast.
On the coast. But, you know, for argument's sake, for devil's advocate, your town is a huge tourist town. And don't they have, like, a ton of shit going on down there in the summertime? Not sports wise, like, you know, concerts and festivals and stuff like that.
The Funk Fest.
Miami doesn't stop. You're gonna tell me Los Angeles stops?
No. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I agree with you.
It's like the handful of years that SummerSlam was in Toronto.
True.
Jesus, maybe what, Surfer? Justify it. He can't justify
it. Glad he didn't.
Anyways.
That got his thumb.
All right.
Maybe they realize they don't care.
Well, I would like to think that they do care, Surfer.
My thing's stalled.
Your thing's stalled. Well, fix your thing.
Put another quarter in their phone.
Anyways. Oh, man, it's fun to do these pre-shows. You know, good thing we don't do them every month anymore, but it's nice to do them once in a while. Anyways.
They're exclusive now.
We're exclusive. Anyways, I was talking with Phil the other day and thinking of how we're going to do these things going forward, you know, and we're going to change things up in 2019. And, you know, we could go back to a monthly format with the pay-per-view stuff if things pan out a certain way, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. I mean, we're not in any rush right now to reveal details. But, you know, there could come a time where the monthly coverage of the events could return. Let's just put it that way. Anyways, last night, I don't know if Tony C and Surfer saw it. I assume, Phil, you saw it. Last night, NXT TakeOver, another good show from the fine folks at the NXT brand, at the Yellow brand. But I wasn't blown away like I had been in the past.
100%. Because now you're used to these NXTs, and, you know, is the talent as good as it was 2 years ago?
Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Here's one of the issues, okay? The main event was Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano for the NXT Championship. This is the fourth NXT special they main event in a row. And while each match has been excellent, this last match fell a little flat for me, and I soured on the finish. The finish, I understand why they did it, but I was sour on the finish. And
I soured on the finish, too.
I was like, because, and for those of you that don't know, Tommaso Ciampa, it was a last man standing match, and ultimately the ending of the match ended up in the stage area with Tommaso Ciampa. He had a handcuff on one wrist, and Johnny Gargano handcuffed him to the bottom part of one of the staging rigs there that they have, pretty much putting Tommaso in his place so that if he gets knocked out, it's unlikely that he's going to be able to stand up completely, let's just say. So Gargano starts to beat the hell out of him and basically, you know, knock him out, essentially. And eventually Tommaso manages to squat on his feet. The count starts over. Gargano, what he does is he exposes his knee, goes after Ciampa, knocks him in the head, takes him out cold, but in the process, Gargano crashes into a stack of anvil cases, okay, and crashes to the floor, hurting his leg, quote unquote. Anyways, the referee counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. At 9, Ciampa was elevated above the stage, laying flat on the stage area, but there was a drop right behind him. Tommaso fell off the stage, still handcuffed to where he was handcuffed, but landed on his feet. Gargano couldn't get up because he hurt his leg, so Ciampa retained the NXT Championship.
So they fought four times and never been a title change?
This is the first time the title's been on the line. Because the other times, they were neither one were the champion. At the Chicago Street Fight last month, the one at Chicago, Ciampa came out victorious. The time before that was the, I forgot what type of match they had. I think it was just a no disqualification match. That's where Gargano came out on top. And then the time before that, Ciampa won. So Ciampa won 3 of the 4 times that they fought at NXT TakeOver. And they main evented the last 4. Like I said, the match is great. The story is great. They've been feuding now. We're going to be going on, I think the feud is now going to be entering its second year at this point. So 2 years to have a feud in 2018 is unheard of, and they've been able to keep it compelling. But this match was kind of like, eh. And the rest of the matches, they telegraphed what's going to happen in the women's match. they kind of told you before it happened what was going to happen. The opening match was excellent. The Undisputed Era against Mustache Mountain. Undisputed retain. Ricochet and Adam Cole for the North American Championship. It was okay. I thought I was going to enjoy it a little bit better. That could be just me, though. That could be just me.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. Maybe because I'm a fan of Adam Cole. Maybe I invest too much in him. I've been a fan of him for a dozen years now.
I think for me, maybe Ricochet shouldn't have won.
Yeah, 100%. But as Choppy and I said on Friday, we thought that if Adam Cole was going to lose, then we just assumed that Gargano was going to win the title and Cole would go after the world title.
I thought that too.
Which, yeah, would make perfect sense. And NXT throwing a curveball again, so which ain't too bad, but you know, the match that bothered me the most, and I was looking forward to it, was EC3 and Velveteen Dream.
That I thought was a horrible match.
It looked like they were rookies, and both guys can work. It just looked like the timing was off. Their moveset was like it was. It just looked stale, stagnant. I'm glad I'm not the only one that saw it.
No. I thought by far that was the worst match of the night.
100%.
That was 100%. The worst one, and I didn't enjoy it at all. I really didn't. And then after that, the Kari Zane and Shayna Baszler match was second to worst match. And it's not that they didn't have a good match. It's just I didn't feel anything for it. The only part I enjoyed was at the very beginning where Shayna Baszler was pretty much destroying Kari Zane. Like, she was just... I honestly thought that she was going to take her foot off. It just, like, because the way she was turning her ankle and this, I thought, this bitch is crazy. You know, but other than that, I didn't, you know. And then the rest of the matches, there was, we're missing a match here. Anyways, best match of the night was the tag team title match. After that, I would go and give it to Ciampa and Gargano, even though the ending, you know, it is what it is. Now, if they're going to play up an injury with Gargano, because they said at the close of the show that they were getting initial reports that Gargano may have sustained a separated kneecap. If they're going to play that injury thing and then Gargano's going to be gone for a while and this and that, I don't think, I don't want to see them go again, but if they are going to go again, it's got to be the last one. That's it. We're talking NXT probably, the next one's probably going to be what? For the Survivor Series in November. Maybe they'll have one in at the end of September. Who knows? But I think the next one after that will probably be the one for the Survivor Series. And that one is in... I think that one is in Los Angeles. I think.
What Survivor Series?
Yeah, I think Survivor Series is in Los Angeles.
We'll look it up right now.
I mean... We'll see. We'll see what happens.
It's in Cali, November 18th.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But if they go one more time, that's it. WWE, I don't want to see it again after that. Because then when you bring them up to the main roster, when it ultimately happens, nobody's going to want to see that match. If you want to save it for WrestleMania or you want to save it for, you know, ultimately a SummerSlam match or whatever. Because it's... People have already seen it 5 million times. They're not going to want to see it again. You're going to have to wait several years before you do it. Go ahead.
I got a question about the sports entertainment business over the years in a whole. Mm-hmm. Why do you guys think they like going to the well on these like matches? Like back in the day, they wouldn't do like five. You know, a match series of five. I mean, they wouldn't call it that, but you get what I'm saying?
You get two matches, maybe three if the feud is really
three times.
Yeah, three times usually was the most. was usually the max.
You go further back, you get like a three match and then a blow off, like a lumberjack or a cage match or something like that.
You know what it is, Tony C, and guys, that today the attention span is very small. So, whereas in 1989, Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair feuded from the end of January to the middle of May, and in that time, they had three main event world title matches. That would have been acceptable back then. That would not be acceptable today. Because after, when Flair beat Steamboat after that, I don't believe they wrestled again until 1994.
Yeah, and then Terry Funk stepped in at the Clash.
And then Flair and Terry Funk closed out the year.
Yep.
That crazy ass Terry Funk, anyways. Who's, you know, Jim Herd? Listen, you get a lot of shit from a lot of people, me, myself included. You are a horrible promoter, a horrible booker, a horrible writer. But one of the worst things you ever did was putting Terry Funk on color commentary. That's all I have to say. Anyways.
And cutting Ric Flair's hair.
And cutting Ric Flair's hair. That's right. Anyways, so that's our 2 cents on TakeOver. Still, I saw a meme today. I don't know if you guys remember the episode of The Simpsons where like the hamburger thief was at Krusty Burger and Krusty beat the shit out of him and the kids were watching on and the one kid, stop, he's already dead. Yeah, it was TakeOver beating the shit out of SummerSlam. And that's what I feel here tonight, because I don't know what we're going to get tonight. Hopefully we'll get something entertaining. But let's see what we're going to get, because let's go to the card right now. Give our predictions. You know the rules. If you've been a part of this network for any length of period of time, you know that we go around the room, give our predictions. If you're listening to us in the chat room, give your thoughts in the chat room. And, of course, if you're listening to this at 5 o'clock when this is re-airing and you're not listening to us live, oh, I don't know what to tell you. Anyways, I guess we'll start with the kickoff matches. There are three of them on this card. And with that, we're going to bring back Tony C, who got disconnected. We got three kickoff matches, two title matches. I have a feeling you're going to see some interesting things during these title matches. We'll start off with the Raw Tag Team titles. They are on the line. The B-Team, Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas, defend against Scott Dawson and
Revival.
Yeah, the Revival. But what the hell is the Scott Dash Wilder? There we go. Dash Wilder and Scott Dawson, the Revival. We'll start with Tony C. Tony C, the B Team or the Revival in this match for the Raw Tag Team Championship?
The NWO B Team, man.
They should come out to that song.
They need to. I mean, they stole their gimmick.
By the way, who was it that texted me the picture? I guess it was Lee that texted me the picture of Kevin Nash and X-Pac in their NWO garb.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, Six, X-Pac, whatever you feel like calling yourself, you should retire your NWO gear, okay? Because you are like 60 years old. And you shouldn't be in. What was that, Surfer?
What the hell is that? A horn?
Is it nappy poo time?
Was that a Mr. A?
No. No, it was just something clear in my throat. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I was about to say.
Fucking sucker pass.
I mean, all right. All right, Surfer. The B Team or the Revival?
Please make sure you got that on tape.
It is on tape, you know.
Okay.
You're going with the B Team. All right. What about you?
If I ever heard one.
What about you, Phil? Your throat doesn't need clearing.
No, I'm good. I'm taking the B Team as well.
I'm going with the Revival. I think the Revival is going to take this one. I think it's time. The issue I have, though, with the Revival winning the match is that they're winning the match during the kickoff. That's where my issue is. And yes, at this point, it doesn't matter if you're on the kickoff or you're on the main card because it's all SummerSlam now. But
the payday's still the same.
The payday's still the same. But I think
about the money you get on the DVD.
I don't even think that matters. I think
who the hell making? I'd be surprised.
That's why what's your car on left?
Yeah, but listen. If I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to use this analogy, Surfer. Okay, I said it on this airwaves, whether it was on a pay per view show or on the rant. If in 2018 you're still buying the pay per view because you don't have a WWE Network subscription, you're an idiot. If in 2018 you're still going out to buy a wrestling pay-per-view DVD from the WWE, you're an idiot. Because you've got access to that event whenever you want through the network. And it's cheaper to get the network than buy the DVD. That's how I see it.
$20
and year, Surfer, basically. You could tell me all night and day that there are people in this country that don't have access to internet. You know what? You're right. Get a cell phone. Get the .com on the cell phone and watch it as Tony Atlas would say, watch it on your cellophone. Okay.
Make sure you get an unlimited data plan.
Unlimited plan. It's still going to be cheaper than buying a DVD, paying for the pay-per-view. Because the pay-per-view is what? $59? Let's see. Let's look right now how much this pay-per-view is tonight.
They're even putting Coliseum home video stuff on there now.
$54.99. And listen to this insult. I'll tell you why.
That's on Turner Entertainment.
The kickoff is 2 hours, starts at 5 o'clock. The kickoff or the pre-show that airs on pay-per-view doesn't start until 6:30.
So you're getting gypped the whole hour and a half?
An hour and a half you're getting gypped. Because on top of that, the kickoff is free. So, okay? So Austin Aries, you can cram it with walnuts, ugly. Okay? Because you left the WWE because you didn't get a DVD payoff. Anyways. Next match. In a match that I'm really not looking forward to, but I'm glad one person or two people are part of the event. They're on SummerSlam. But you could definitely tell, you know, all it takes is 30 days to see where your popularity lies. Next kickoff match is Rusev and Lana versus Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. I'm happy for Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. They are an excellent pair. Almas is a great wrestler, and I like Zelina Vega. Rusev, just last pay-per-view, was in one of the main event matches. So
he main evented.
Almas was the NXT champion about a year ago.
Yes, he was. But I understand Almas still climbing the ladder. I understand that part. But
I heard they're really ready to push Almas. I guess they want to make him the Mexican star that they was going to try with
Del Rio.
Del Rio.
He deserves it because I got to tell you, I was not a big fan of Andrade Cien Almas in NXT until he had his match with Johnny Gargano, I believe, at TakeOver Brooklyn last year. That match blew me away.
And who knows, Zelina Vega, she could be the next, why am I blanking on name? What's Punk's wife's name again?
AJ.
AJ Lee.
Yes. They may make her into another AJ. Who knows?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I'm not banking on, but I like Zelina Vega. I like Cien Almas. Rusev and Lana, I can handle them in small doses. You know, so we'll start with Surfer. Who are you going to go with? Rusev and Lana or Almas and Vega?
I'm thinking Almas and Vega. I think what you going to come down and accidentally interfere one more time.
Oh, Aiden English?
And at this point, I don't think he's accidentally interfering.
Aiden English Guerrero, by the way, because he is a Guerrero. He married a Guerrero. So.
Well, she's a...
Wait. He married Vicky?
He married really? Vicky's daughter.
Oh, man.
So her name is Guerrero English.
Sure. I don't know what his real name is, but yeah, you could say that. What about you, Phil?
I'm going to take Rusev and Lana.
Oh, okay. What about you, Mr.?
I can care less. It still bothers me that this format still goes on with champions, with belts being defended on a pre-show. Like it angers me that they should get main event time. Especially if I'm one of the schmucks that are still paying for a pay-per-view, which I'm not, thank God. I would want the titles to be defended on pay-per-view.
Here's the issue, Phil. I at this point I don't have an issue with it. You know when I really have an issue with it is when the match is going on, and this is what's going to happen because this is a 2-hour kickoff show with 3 matches. So you know that this is going to happen. Is when one of the matches, whether it's a title match or even just this match,
and the arena is half full.
That drives me up the wall. I can't stand it. That is, I find that to be so offensive to the wrestlers.
Yeah, it's like 2010 TNA, you know?
It is just so ridiculous because what happens? They got to bring down the house lights so the arena doesn't look empty. So the arena is dark.
And there will be a dark match.
Yep.
I guess that's where the term comes from, right, Tony C? You know? Jesus.
Of many places, yeah.
So who you going with in this match, Tony C?
Just before I get my pick, I agree with Phil. I'm a traditionalist / elitist when it comes to my wrestling. Some stuff should never be touched. Should be sacred in wrestling, in sports entertainment, and title matches on a pay-per-view should be sacred. I don't care who's in charge. Okay. That should never change.
I gotta ask this question then, okay? For all those years, okay, that Sunday Night Heat and WCW Main Event was on right before the pay-per-view. It was the lead-in to the pay-per-view. The arena was full. They never started the show when the arena was empty. Because why? Both those shows featured usually a full show of matches. You know, WCW or Heat, they probably had, let's say, 2 or 3 matches. Now, as Heat progressed on in years, you know, as we got into the 2002s and the 3s and the 4s, you got one match on Sunday Night Heat. One match, though. And usually it was at 7:50, 10 minutes before the pay-per-view started, and the arena was full. Why can't WWE... They print the tickets. And if you got a ticket to the Barclays Center for SummerSlam tonight, it says on the ticket, doors open at 6 o'clock or whatever. Why are you going to start a pay-per-view pre-show at 5? Or 5:30, whatever the thing says, you know. But yeah. And speaking of something that Phil maybe noted this on Facebook. somebody that gets mentioned on Turnbuckle Throwbacks once in a while, and she's a fan of some of the shows on the network, and you know she follows me on Instagram is Kathy Huma. Okay. Anytime that these shows are in the New York area or in that New York, New Jersey, area, she somehow figures out to get camera time.
Yeah, Kathy's a super fan, man. And she goes to all the shows.
I know she's a super fan, but she always manages to get camera time. Last night, Mike Rome was on the NXT kickoff show. Or the NXT pre-show, whatever. They call it a pre-show, by the way, in NXT. They don't call it a kickoff. And she found her way to get into Mike Rome's shot. And hooting, hollering with all the fans. She did the same thing the last time there was an NXT in Brooklyn. I've seen her on, there was a pay-per-view in Jersey, I think, 6 months ago that I saw her there.
Backlash.
Yeah, she somehow always manages to get camera time. So, yeah, you know, kudos to her.
If she didn't have a death in the family today, she would be at SummerSlam doing the same thing.
Oh, she has. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so condolences to Kathy and her family. Yeah,
sorry to hear that. But other than that, if that wasn't going on, you would have seen her on camera today, because she would have found a way to get into Mike Rome shot or Charlie Caruso or whoever, you know. But anyways,
part of me, Double A, thinks it's corny that that kind of thing happens. But part of me is like, you know, if I was her age and single and still lived at home, I'd probably be doing the same thing. I think, to an extent, I think. I don't know if I'd be trying that hard to get on TV, but I would get the best seats possible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. Call me silly.
I remember one time we were watching SmackDown had a live. This is before SmackDown was live every week, and I remember we were live on the air one day, and SmackDown was live in Tampa, and we were sitting there watching, and this person who will remain nameless, but you know exactly who I'm talking about, appeared on camera with her brother. And everything stopped. That day on the air, everything stopped when we noticed her on camera. Because we had to keep rewinding it and going back and this, because I don't know why, we just found it so humorous that she was on camera, but she didn't realize she was on camera. But I don't know how she could not have realized she was not on camera, because the camera could not have been more than 5 feet away from her. So I don't know. It was one of those things, but whatever.
When we went to ECW for those like 2-3 years, you know, they taped, they had TV, and 4 episodes was one card. So if you went to a card, you were on TV for a month if you were on the camera side. You
know. Well,
seriously,
you got on the same thing all month long.
Yeah, seriously.
If you want to split hairs, I'm in the WWE intro and have been for the last 5 years. No, anyways, anytime I ever see that WWE intro, the one where they now, present, whatever the hell that damn thing says. Now, present, and forever, or some shit like that. The opening shot with the fireworks, I keep thinking, that's WrestleMania 28. I was there. Every time a WWE program starts, there I am. And, of course, you can't see shit. It's an aerial shot. But every time, for some reason, that goes off in my head, that's WrestleMania 28. I was there.
Yeah, well, you remember the sequel to Three Men and a Baby? Three Men and a Little Lady, they called it. Remember that? The awful sequel they had?
Uh-huh.
They filmed that at Shea Stadium. And they let you, when I was there the day they filmed it, they let you know, hey, you guys are going to be in a movie. Just stand up and cheer. And you're like, oh. I was like a kid, you know? I was like, oh, shit, I'm going to be in a movie.
Oh, my God.
Every time I see that, I was what? Maybe I was barely a teenager. I'm like, I'm gonna be on TV, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'll get up and cheer and do the wave. And every time they show that movie, like every couple of years on cable, I'm like, hey, I'm in that movie.
Yeah. Oh my Same god, concept. You got a film credit.
And it didn't. Didn't Surfer say that he was there the day they filmed the scene in Rocky II with all the kids running to the museum? Didn't you say that, Surfer?
I thought he said.
Rocky 2, Rocky 3.
Oh, so you were,
I know.
Oh, look at that. You've got you're in the whole series.
No.
I told you
I wasn't in Rocky 4 cuz I was in Russia.
No.
He's in Rocky 3. He's the guy that said, "Get a brother a shot." That's funny.
Jimmy Harvey was in Jimmy Harvey's in the IMDb. Look it up.
I got to look it up. Right now. I got to look it up. It's a those credits are long. I can't read everything, you know. Yeah. I have a hard enough time reading the credits at the end of any of the Naked Gun movies because those are funny. But
get a brother a shot, guys. Jimmy Harvey. That's what it says.
He had his own director's chair and everything.
Yeah.
Get a brother a shot.
Are you in SAG, Surfer?
No, it was an accident that I ended up, well... I wasn't in the running with the kids. I came out of my art class, and they came running up the parkway. So I wouldn't have been seen in that anyway. But I was in the crowd when Mickey was telling them, you can't beat this guy, you know? And
That was you saying, get a brother a shot.
Surfer ad-libbing.
Exactly.
Get it tomorrow.
So wait a minute. Is there a possibility that somewhere that there's an outtake from Rocky II of you walking into the shot?
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? No, all joking aside, we bust Surfer's balls. But how awesome would that be if he was in the outtake?
Yeah, you know, like in the deleted scenes.
That'd be awesome. You're like, that's my friend Jimmy.
Oh, man. Man, oh, man. Anyways, next match on the kickoff, another title match. The Cruiser... Oh, wait, I didn't give my pick. I'm going with Andrade Cien Almas and Selena Vega in this one. Tony, see, you didn't give your pick because you said before you went off talking about how it grinds your gears, the same thing about the matches on the pre-show.
I'm going Rusev and Lana.
So everybody goes with Rusev and Lana. I'm the only one going with Cien Almas.
No, it's split.
It's split. All right. Cruiserweight title is on the line. This is also on the kickoff. Cedric Alexander, the champion, will defend his title against a person that I believe was owed a cruiserweight title match since like last spring, and that's Drew Gulak. Phil, we'll start with you.
I love Drew Gulak. Unfortunately, I don't see him winning. I'd love to see him win. He's a great character. He's a good dude in person too. We met him a bunch of times, and his character. Ever since Triple H rebooted 205 Live, I don't watch it consecutively, but when I do watch it and he's on it, it's gold. So he'd be a great champion. Unfortunately, Cedric Alexander would probably beat him just for the sake of, you know, whatever. But I'd love to see Drew Gulak win, but I think Cedric's going to win.
Drew Gulak, by the way, not a goy because, you know, there's a video of him teaching other WWE superstars how to spin a dreidel. So you need to go and search that out. Anyways, Tony C, who are you going with, Drew Gulak or Cedric Alexander for the Cruiserweight Championship of the world? And mind you, I'm sure at ringside will be 205 Live general manager Drake Maverick, who I think, you know, like Phil, I don't watch 205 Live religiously, but when I do, he is so heavily involved in the show. And if you follow him on social media, all he does for the most part is promote 205 Live and this and that. And I think it's hilarious how he's pretty much, I find it when a wrestler stops wrestling and takes on a different role, but they immerse themselves so deeply in the role they forget that they're a wrestler. In this instance, it's like if Rockstar Spud never existed and it's only Drake Maverick. He is so involved, and I love it. But anyways, he might be at ringside because he's always at ringside for these high-profile matches. Anyways, go ahead, Tony C. Drew Gulak or Cedric Alexander?
Cedric the Entertainer is going to win.
Okay, you're going to go with him. What about you, Surfer?
That's right.
Should I make a sound effect now or just answer it? I'm going with Cedric.
You know what? I'm going to go against the grain here and and give it to Drew Gulak because, you know, why not? I like Drew Gulak. I like Cedric Alexander, but, you know, who else was Cedric Alexander going to feud with? Mustafa Ali, as Maverick says. No, come on. I think it's going to be Drew Gulak is going to win the title. So I predict two title changes during the kickoff. And if that happens, that's sad. Anyways, by the way, we're going to hear Elias perform tonight. So, great. We're going to hear Elias perform. SmackDown tag team titles are on the line when the Bludgeon Brothers, Rowan and, not Rowan and Martin, but Rowan and Harper.
Harper.
We'll go up against the... It's
still
a laughing against the New Day.
Yeah.
We don't know which combination of the New Day will be in the match, but I have a feeling it's going to be Big E and Xavier Woods. I don't know why, but I have that feeling. Let's start with Tony C on this one.
Going with the Bludgeon Brothers.
Okay. Surfer.
I'm going with the New Day.
Okay. You want some pancakes to go with that?
Nah, I want to go back to the old. I want to go back to the Bootios. So.
Let me ask you something. They've got the pancakes. They've got the Bootios. What do you think is going to be the next food that they come out with?
Well, wasn't they trying to push for the ice cream bars at one time?
Apparently, they got the ice cream out, but I want another ridiculous food. Like, pancakes is ridiculous.
Let's see. One would be too racist.
What would that be?
It's a fruit that you have to slice in half.
What, a watermelon?
I don't think they're going to tread that water, but
that to be a non-meat, right?
I would think it's not going to be a fruit. I would think it's not going to be meat either.
It has to be a non-meat.
Can we?
Hashtag non-meat. Last week it was too much meat. Now this week is non-meat.
It's a non-meat.
Y'all is something else on his ass. I'm telling y'all.
I'm saying they can't like start tossing bacon into the crowd.
Why not?
Hot dogs, right?
Why not? The hell with the vegetarians and the people that are vegans. You know? I'm sure those pancakes are not gluten free.
Exactly.
I can see them tossing hot dogs into the crowd. But then we know you can get hurt getting hit by a hot dog.
You can get hurt getting plummeted with a stack of pancakes.
We know somebody got hit in the eye because the Philly fanatic hit somebody with a hot dog.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you didn't hear about that?
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, you know, he comes out shooting hot dogs with the gun, and somebody got hit in the eye with one.
Well, that's just obscene. I think the next...
Well, it is Philadelphia.
Yeah, savage. You're right. I think the next savage. Thing, though, I personally think the next thing is going to be muffins.
Okay, I can see muffins.
Muffins or bagels. Bagels would be one.
Donuts.
Bootio bagels.
No, donuts.
I don't know. Donuts could be messy. We don't. The one thing that I've noticed that while pancakes, yes, they could be messy. Cereal, yes, could be messy. They've all been dry. So it has to be something dry.
Yeah, you can do a dry donut.
It's not the same.
That's old fashioned.
Isn't a dry donut a
dry,
bagel?
A dry donut, exactly. A dry donut is a bagel with sugar. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What the hell? Who the hell want to eat a dry donut?
I don't see anybody. Hey. Okay.
Yeah, let me get a dry donut.
Let me get a plain cake donut.
I go to Dunkin' Donuts. The first thing to sell out is the old fashioned donut.
Because you have a bunch of geriatrics in your neighborhood. That's why.
I mean,
I'm talking about every Dunkin' Donut.
No, my Dunkin' Donuts. I don't see anybody running for the. You know, it's like having a plain. What are the Munchkins? Plain Munchkins. That's just a ball of dough.
Exactly.
What's the fun in that?
At least get it glazed.
Exactly. You know, if I want to eat a ball of dough, I'll take a slice of Wonder Bread and roll it up into a baseball. I can make my own donuts. I don't need Dunkin' Donuts to do that for me. Anyways.
Oh, God, Joe.
All right, so you're going with, who'd you go with, Surfer? The New Day. That's right.
The New Day.
Phil, what about you?
I'm taking the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bludgeon Brothers, too. Something tells me, though.
The reason why I think they would change hands because since they've given the Bludgeon Brothers the belt, they don't do nothing with them other than wrestle them against somebody at a pay-per-view. Like, there is no, like, it's the New Day and the Bar and the Usos do all the talking. The Bludgeon Brothers just come out and stand there.
I think, well, they have to be the dominant team. I think, though, the Pancakes are going to get involved.
They're like Doom with the mask.
Yeah, I think the Pancakes, though, are going to get involved in the match.
Yeah, but well, Doom had a mouthpiece. The Bludgeon Brothers don't have
a mouthpiece. Not with the mask. Woman didn't talk. Woman didn't talk when they had the mask on.
She talked a very little, though. It wasn't until Teddy Long and his big mouth. That really,
and they didn't have a mask then.
Yeah, well, they did, but
for a little while,
you know. Then they lost those masks, and Teddy Long had to take Ric Flair on that limo drive, and that was the end of that.
The activator, WCW had to up their activator budget. Them Jerry curls can be dry on camera.
Could you imagine what went into that storyline? That they were probably like, "What can we do in this storyline to make this interesting?" And I have a feeling that somebody at that meeting probably went and said, "Well, why don't we have Teddy Long do what he used to do?" You know, like chauffeur. And I'm thinking, I'm almost positive that was said. Given the fact that we read those WCW lawsuits a couple weeks ago, it wouldn't surprise me if something like that was said. Anyways, a match that I don't give a damn about. I really don't. It makes no sense to me why this is on the pay-per-view because I could have sworn they wrestled on at the last pay-per-view at Backlash. Finn Balor against Constable Corbin.
This whole Constable Corbin act is not working for me.
No,
he's
not.
Just nothing but a big jerk.
He's a tattletale.
They was trying to do the same thing with Big Cass, make him just a big jerk. But he got fired.
Yeah, but
Constable Corbin has not been in a serious feud with anybody since he's taking that position.
Yeah, I don't care about this match at all, but we'll start with Surfer. Go ahead, Surfer. Pick one.
I'm going with Finn Balor.
Phil?
I'm going with Finn Balor.
Tony C.
I want Constable Corbin to win, and then he calls Roman Reigns the title, and then they can feud somewhere and off in the corner somewhere. That would make sense to me. That's Tony C.
Well, book. Tony C, your dreams are going to get shattered in a little bit. Finn Balor, I'm going with as well, and you know.
Ooh, you double A, don't talk about my dreams.
I think it would be detrimental. It would hurt Balor if he lost. I mean, he's got very little momentum as it is, and if him losing to Constable Corbin would impede any progress that he's making. United States.
Hold on, double A. Basically, so what you saying is there's no chance in hell that Constable Corbin could cause boom in the.
I didn't say that. That I didn't say. But I'm going to tell you where your dreams will
become shattered. It seemed like if they didn't do this gimmick with him, he would have been future endeavored months ago.
I don't know about that.
Come on, Constable Core. Come on.
Because they like him for some reason.
I played for some last night.
To be honest with you, I really think they did the gimmick because they needed a reason to cut his hair because his hair was extremely thin for it being shoulder length.
If they liked him, he would successfully cash in that Money in the Bank.
Listen, you got to have somebody lose every once in a while. United States Heavyweight Championship is on the line when the champion Shinsuke Nakamura defends his title against the charismatic enigma Jeff Hardy. Ugh, Phil.
Yeah, you know, Hardy's playing hurt, and I don't see him winning at all. And what bothers me even more is if you're following SmackDown at all, why isn't Randy Orton a part of this match?
Because I think
he's part of the storyline, you know what I'm saying?
He's too busy pulling his dick out to people.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, yeah.
He'll probably do it tonight during the pay-per-view, you know. It's possible.
Wow.
It'll cause a distraction and Nakamura will lose the title.
If he whips his dick out, we're doing a pro show.
Of course. Of course. I'll text everybody right now. The minute the main event is over, we're going to be on the air.
We'll talk about 100%. That. Oh, my God.
The hell with what happened with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. Let's talk about Randy Orton and his indecent exposure in front of 14,000 people at the Barclays Center and a worldwide television audience.
Oh my God! He still don't have a job.
He'll still have a job. That's right. He'll still have a job.
I'm going.
Remember what I said on. That's right. We were not on the air. Tuesday when we talked about that story. Of course, SmackDown was airing and 205 Live and all that stuff, and we get off the air. And Wednesday morning, the story comes out that, you know, after I guess Orton was aware of all the allegations that were making the rounds on the internet. So Orton decided to have fun with it, and he went around after his dark match on Tuesday and shook the hand of all the crew members at ringside.
And them not knowing, he probably...
They all laughed about it because they all knew the story, you know. But...
They probably. When's somebody going to ask Randy Orton, how come this hair growing on your palm?
You know, and I got into this. I got into this with Nick German on the group page on Wednesday morning. Okay, and he goes, I shook Orton's hand, and I said, well
you're bad.
I said, how many people's hand? In your lifetime, have you shook, and they probably went to the bathroom and they didn't wash? I mean, you're like, ugh, because it's Orton, because he's a famous person. But how many people have you done that's actually happened that you're unaware of? And he goes, I would have hoped that he would have the decency to at least watch. And I said, well, we don't know, but I don't think that's going to be the worst offense you're gonna ever experience in your life when it comes to somebody's unsanitary handshake. You know, because I'm sure, by transfer of a handshake.
Imagine how poor JoJo feels.
I'm sure by transfer of a handshake, you've held many others' pecker in your hand. Okay.
Yeah, but I want somebody to shake Randy Orton's hand, and then rub the hand with sanitizer.
You know, I think I told this to Nick as well, and I'm pretty sure I told Tony C that when it was brought up about JoJo, and I said I have a feeling JoJo didn't use her hands. So,
oh my damn! Don't do JoJo like that. She's a good, clean girl. Good, nice, clean girl.
Good clean Christian girl, clean. Tony.
Wholesome clean. Girl.
Well, you know.
Until Bray Wyatt got his hands on it. Well, and now he's a sully.
At least I don't think it's the same situation as Renee and Dean Ambrose. Okay.
Oh, my God. Them two.
You know, because I see Dean. That apartment is trash. Renee can't keep up with Dean. Let's just put it that way. Anyways. Go ahead, Tony C. Nakamura. Nakamura. Or Jeff Hardy.
Tidy Whitey's on the floor with shit stains on. Anyway,
these are my good towels, Dean.
Knock them out.
My mom is coming over. She's going to be here in 10 minutes.
I don't give a damn.
Anyways, go ahead, Tony C. Nakamura and Hardy.
Nakamura.
You're going Nakamura. All right. What about you, sir?
Yep.
I'm going with Jeff Hardy via disqualification.
I'm going with that, too. I think Orton's going to get involved in the match. And even though
Orton's going to put Jeff Hardy on the shelf.
I think he's going to put his Johnson through that ear hole that he stuck his finger in. That's what's really going to happen.
Oh my God, Joe. That piercing hole?
The gauge, exactly.
Get the hell out of here, man. Gonna stick his dick in his ear like on Scary Movie.
That's what they do on
Scary Movie. Oh my God, could you imagine?
He put his dick in his ear. He did. On that movie.
Phil comes
back.
He put
his ear to that bathroom wall.
I see everybody, Phil and Rob and everybody coming back from Chicago after all it is, you know, this event was good, but nothing compares to what happened at SummerSlam. Oh, man.
Well, Randy Orton put his dick in Jeff Hardy's ear.
600 miles for this shit? I should have stayed in Brooklyn.
Exactly.
Oh my God! Man, party, Jeff Hardy's ear.
Yeah, this is where Jim Ross was like, "Pop, he's got a family. Put that dick back in your pants."
Now, Tony C, you know Byron Saxton personally, or at least you did. How would he react to that?
Just make that face.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That same face he made when he was sitting Indian style on the floor.
Oh. When Cody, when he was back there with Stardust.
Anyways.
They interrogated.
Too funny. In what is probably going to be one of the best matches. Well, it's going to be hard because there are three matches on here that could very easily steal the show. And this is one of them. And I'm actually looking forward to this match. Especially after Tuesday night and the hype that they gave this match. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. And that three-part video package they showed on Tuesday night, I thought was stupendous. It was excellent.
Years in the making.
Now, this is a feud right here because they haven't wrestled each other in a long, long time. This is an attitude era type feud. They've always had beef, but they haven't wrestled each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's what makes it good.
Yeah.
Looking back at that Talking Smack episode when, what you call him, late in the day, O'Brien?
Yeah.
I mean, who knew then that it was leading up to this?
Nobody did, you know?
Nobody, because Daniel Bryan wasn't cleared yet. This is like Cannabis versus LL.
I'm a big person on when they go back and they reference old stuff. So the fact that they're digging up the footage of their time in NXT, the original NXT, and things like that, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
It tells a good story.
It does. It certainly does.
Exactly.
And,
I was just gonna say, if you find out they really like each other, they're real cool in real life, you'd be like, "Well, ain't kayfabe a bitch."
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
because they really act like they don't like each other.
Right. When it was paired up on NXT, I mean, it was, you couldn't have got two opposite type of wrestlers.
Of course.
And they knew that pairing them up. I mean, Daniel Bryan, he came in with no personality, but all the wrestling skill, and everybody looked at Miz with all the personality and no wrestling skill.
Yeah.
And now they're closer to the middle to each other than back then.
Well, we know the better the friendship, the better the match.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
That's historic. Steamboat Flair, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn. You know. It's been a test of time, you know, Triple H and Austin All Rock, you know. So, I mean, it's just a test of time. It tells a good story. Yeah, sure. But Michael's Triple H, yeah, 100%.
Tony C, we'll start with you.
I think The Miz is going to take this first one, and I think the payoff is going to be, in August, so we still got September, October. I'm going with The Miz. I think this is going to ride out a little bit. The Miz is going to get the first round.
Surfer.
Yeah, I'm going with The Miz, too, because, I mean, this would stretch out the feud. I think they're going to get a Hell in a Cell match.
I got to process that one. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, I'm piggybacking on everybody. I'm taking The Miz. I'm pro Miz right now. I actually gave myself 3 episodes of his reality show lately, and
I couldn't watch it.
I love what he's doing right now.
I watched the first one. I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, I saw the first 3, and I'm still like, all right. But I understand, and I like everything he's doing right now. And like Tony was saying, it's an attitude era ish type of feud. So, and I like that because it's a nice little throwback, you know, no pun intended, but if The Miz wins, like Surfer said, it puts them in a position where they could just tell a good story and prolong the feud.
I'm going with The Miz as well. I think The Miz, while he's going to win clean, I think the finish is going to be one of those accidental finishes. Like, it's going to be like, The Miz just happens to schoolboy Daniel Bryan. Something like that.
Maybe the baby gets involved.
Roll up.
Maybe the baby gets involved.
Oh, yeah. If the baby gets involved, I'm turning the TV off. I hate when they involve the kids as props in the matches. I hate that. But
even though I did predict Sir Maxwell to get involved back in that Matt Hardy crap back in TNA.
As for the Hell in a Cell possibility, I necessarily don't see Miz and Daniel Bryan in a Hell in a Cell. However, what I see potentially happening is they have a blow-off where they have like a return match down the road at a bigger pay-per-view, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, even WrestleMania. If it's WrestleMania, the WWE title is going to be on the line. If it's Survivor Series or Royal Rumble, it'll be for the United States Championship. But I think the next match after this, I think that there's going to be a title involved. If it were me writing it, I would aim for The Miz and Daniel Bryan for the WWE title at WrestleMania. That's what I would do. But, you know, Vince doesn't listen to me. So, next match on the docket is the triple threat match for the SmackDown Women's Championship. The champion Carmella defends her title against Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Surfer, you're up on this one.
I'm going with Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch heel turn.
Okay. Okay. Phil.
I'm taking Becky Lynch. I think there's going to be some tension between her and Charlotte, and I think Becky's going to show a little bit of a mean streak to her, hence her winning the title tonight.
Tony C.
I'm going with the underdogs tonight. I'm going with Carmella, the retain.
Man, that's going to deflate the arena if she walks out as champion again.
I'm going to go with my initial gut is Becky Lynch. And I think there is a caveat. Caveat being that she gets the pin on Carmella. That's the key. It cannot be on Charlotte. And what I would have, because here's the issue. We're coming up now. I'm going to tie everything in now. We're coming up on the all-female pay-per-view. We're coming up at the Survivor Series here in November. Shayna Baszler just lost the NXT Women's Championship. There's a smattering of rumors going around that there's going to be a four horsewomen versus four horsewomen match down the road, possibly at the October
Survivor Series.
Survivor Series, wow. Or even at that female pay-per-view. And I would suspect that wherever that match happens, okay, that's going to be the match where there's going to be the turn on either. There's going to be the turn, whether Charlotte becomes a heel, Becky becomes a heel, or whatever. Something happens between the two that's going to cost the match. You're right. It's going to be at the Survivor Series because, I don't know. Well, I have to think about that one. Go ahead.
You have the potential of all four women turning heel on somebody.
On the WWE side, yeah.
Bayley, you know, one of them might turn heel.
Well, they are going to turn. It's just a foregone conclusion that Bayley's going to turn heel. It's going to happen.
But, my biggest complaint the last couple of years is that they didn't have enough girls. Now they do, and I feel like they don't know what to do with them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And the issue is that we're spending too much time on things that don't deserve the amount of time it's getting. You know, I don't necessarily think that we need a 25-minute segment to progress a storyline between Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. I think we can shave 10 minutes off and give 10 minutes to another female storyline. That being Sasha and Bayley. Now look, here we are, SummerSlam. Sasha and Bayley are not on this card. How much you want to bet that that's going to play into eventually what's going to be the progressing of the storyline? It's going to happen. You know, and they're going to throw that in. I think There's a lot of things to analyze and to figure out, to piece it together. But I think it's going to be good that they're going to do the all-female pay-per-view in October. That's going to give them some time to do some things. Of course, look at the time of the year that it happens anyway.
Big show season.
Big show season. So,
now he might be coming back.
No, I don't think so.
Isn't he mostly retired?
He's pretty much retired.
I mean, it's not like he's hurt.
He had hip surgery. He had hip replacement surgery, I think.
When was that? Last year?
Man. I think at the end of the year, the beginning of this year.
I mean, when did he have that match with Braun in the steel cage? Or when the ring collapsed? Whatever it was.
I think it was last year. Certainly, I mean, yeah, this
always will be known.
So, I don't know. We'll
that
see.
Season always going to be known as Big Show season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like I said, I'm going with
Becky
Lynch.
We're about to hit it.
I'm going with Becky Lynch, and because, I don't want Charlotte to be the champion right now, just because.
Because she'll be champion a million times, so exactly. It's not like a thing where she has to have it.
She's gonna be the 16th time women's champion, like her dad.
That's it. Stick it on
blondes, apparently.
Well, they like blondes in WWE in general. All right. One of the other matches that possibly could steal the show. This match closed the show in Newark last month, and of course, the fans in Newark. Did it close the show? I believe it did. They ruined the damn match. Dolph Ziggler against Seth Rollins' Intercontinental title is on the line. We'll start with Surfer, I believe.
Well, this seemed like the longest Dolph held a belt, so I think he's due to lose it. So I'm going with Seth Rollins.
It hasn't been that long.
How long has it been? How long has he had the belt?
Less than 2 months?
Yeah, usually he don't hold on the belt long.
I don't know. What about you, Phil?
I mean, the last time he had a belt over SmackDown, he was like, oh, y'all don't deserve me. And he walks away from it, and that was less than a month. He was like champion for like a day or two.
I mean,
this is a long reign for Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah. But it's a different Dolph Ziggler too. What about you, Phil?
I'm going to take Ziggles with a possible Ambrose turn on Rollins.
Damn, you taking my damn
thing. I'm going with the same thing.
I wonder, is he going to turn this soon?
Oh yeah.
He looks the part, man. He looks the part. He got Diesel, cut his hair. His clothes fit him better. He looks angry.
That's because Renee went shopping.
Damn right she did. Got him some better undershirts.
Anyways, Tony C. So you're going with what Phil said.
Yeah.
Now here's my issue with what we're saying, and I agree with you guys.
Oh Lord.
I agree with you guys. I hate, and Dave Meltzer received a lot of shit this week for calling Peyton Royce overweight.
Yeah.
What?
He's got a lot of nerve, but whatever.
Because she had like an extra biscuit or something?
She apparently put on a few pounds since her time in NXT. But not in the, I to be honest, if you want to ask me, I probably don't even notice. But anyways, so he took a lot of shit for that. Had to issue an apology
not
and everything.
Not the best, I can tell you that.
But then again, you know my feelings on Dave Meltzer. He made a career on happily exposing the business. Okay? He's proud he did it. Anyways, so I've been reading the dirt sheets all week. And I want to believe that these are not true, but it is what it is. The go home show for the Superstar Showdown in Australia that Monday prior to that event, the advertised main event is the Shield versus, I don't remember, Jinder Mahal, Kevin Owens, and somebody else. Dolph Ziggler. Some shit like that. That's the advertised main event for that event, and I believe it's Providence, Rhode Island. That's number one. Number two, I read the Shield is going to help Roman Reigns tonight in his match. I don't want that to happen because, first of all, I don't like Dean Ambrose. I don't.
I don't like Dean Ambrose either. I agree.
But this is the new Dean Ambrose.
I don't want the Shield together. I mean, I like the Shield, but I don't want them together. It just, under these circumstances,
it don't make no sense. Yeah, why they ain't helping the first two times?
That's why I want Dean Ambrose to be a heel. On the flip side, now I don't know what the hell he's going to do as a heel.
Feud with Seth Rollins, and then what?
He feuded with Seth Rollins 2 years ago.
Right, I'm saying he would feud with him again.
But he's the face then.
The roles were reversed. So,
yeah.
I don't know what to say.
SummerSlam 2 years ago. Didn't they fall that? Four years ago.
No, but they also, you got to remember,
Seth had the briefcase.
No, but do you also remember that when the first draft happened in 2016?
Oh, yeah, when he won the belt.
That was going on. I think it makes sense to turn Ambrose heel. I predicted it immediately on Monday when he came out, but I don't know what he does as a heel, and I don't want to see him as a face either. It's kind of one of these situations that I'm like, ugh, you're forcing me to enjoy it one way or another.
I think if you have somebody who's just coming back turning heel, it's like they come in and do the heel thing, not do the baby face thing, and then the next time you see them do the heel thing, let them go along for a period of time before they turn. Because now everybody saw him come back as a face, and they want him to be a face. So if you wait like a few weeks or a month, once he turns heel, it'll hurt more.
But you don't turn him heel on a nothing show.
Yeah.
If you don't do something like that, you do it on one of your big four.
You pick your spot.
Well, we're going to see what happens.
Ain't nobody going to care if he turn heel at Hell in the Cell. Hell, ain't nobody probably going to be watching that.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe there's a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view this year.
Whatever the next one is. What's the next one?
The next one is
Night of Champions.
No.
So
they're
going to have a Halloween Havoc this year?
There's talks. There is talks. I believe the next pay-per-view is No Mercy.
No mercy for your foe. Yeah.
Anyways, next match on the docket, Braun Strowman against Kevin Owens. The Money in the Bank contract is on the line. We'll start with Mr. Impact Player himself.
See, in theory,
a perfect Kevin world. Owens could, in a perfect world.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I stand corrected. In a perfect world, Kevin Owens should win the briefcase and cash in on whoever beats Brock and Roman and Booman, or whatever you guys want to call him these days. But obviously, Strowman's too. He's white hot right now, so I don't see him losing. But I would like to see Kevin Owens win just to see him cash in, get back on top again, and then him and Finn Balor can cut it up again. But I don't know. That's not going to happen. I'm picking Strowman, although I want Owens to win.
Unfortunately, this is not a perfect
win. Your heart says Owens.
Right, but
your bowels say something
my
else.
My head. Right, correct. Yeah. Correct.
Tony C.
I agree with my fellow Randy and brother and Phil Rea. My heart says Kevin Owens should win. And also cash in and become a Heyman guy.
Oh, even better. That gets the bell. There you go. Yeah, I like that.
That's
even better.
For him to become a Heyman guy.
We're going to see what happens. I think them two together,
that writes money. Itself, Tony. Yeah, Tony, that writes itself, man. That's awesome.
Those two together.
No, Kevin Owens and...
Kevin Owens. Hell, Braun Strowman and Paul Heyman. That's the same thing as Brock and Paul Heyman.
Not really.
I'll go back to UFC.
I would have... I think it would be funny to see Heyman and Strowman together and Heyman fear Strowman.
But you know what? One of the things that made Heyman work is because he's not coming out week after week and opening his mouth. So when he do come out, you look forward to it. But if he's with somebody that's on TV every week, will his talking for that person be as effective?
100%.
Hell yeah.
I'll tell you why that'll work, Surfer, and you have a valid point, but you know why that would probably work? Is because a third of that roster can't talk for shit anyway. That's not what I'm saying.
I'm saying Heyman coming out every week.
Right, no, I see what you're saying.
That's a treat for us.
After a while, you may get tired of him.
No one else could talk.
Did you get tired?
So if Heyman does come out, it's entertaining.
You put yourself in that category.
When you were growing up, did you get tired of hearing the Grand Wizard every single week on television?
No, that's a different era.
No. The thing is exactly the same.
I'll tell you why I say it's a different era. Because growing up, you didn't hear these managers during the show. It was during the promos that was pre-recorded. Well, the whole show's pre-recorded. But when they did the promos, they did them separate from the audience of the WWE. And they came out to push the monthly show at that city. They didn't just come out and just run their mouth, just to run their mouth. They would always come out and talk about the match coming to the Spectrum every month. At least here, because each area got their own little promo for whatever.
It was a market specific promo. I get it. My question was, did you get tired of hearing the Grand Wizard every week on television?
No, but you didn't hear him every week.
I understand. You didn't hear him. So you're saying you did not hear the Grand Wizard with his charge, with his client, every week on television. Okay. So if the Grand Wizard was managing...
The Grand Wizard had more than one wrestler.
Of course he did. But the Grand
Wizard. Right, so when he came out, it was always about.
You just validated what I just said. So the Grand Wizard more than likely had to cut a promo highlighting several of his clients, okay? Whether it's Superstar Billy Graham or I don't know who else he managed, but he managed a whole bunch of people. So he'd have to cut, in theory, an more lengthier promo to put over his people. Okay.
Now,
here we are in 2018. Heyman comes out with Lesnar
and gets a whole segment.
Gets a 15-minute segment, but in that 15-minute segment, Heyman maybe only talked 5 minutes, and the other 10 minutes are Brock is getting into a brawl with Roman Reigns, and the other 5 are Roman doing his end of the talking.
Right.
It's not any different.
What about that, Joe? Who do you think Heyman's been more effective with as a mouthpiece to Brock coming out every 2-3 months, or when he was coming out week after week with CM Punk?
It's different because CM Punk did some of the talking.
Heyman didn't do all the talking. Water to a well, so.
You know, there was a time when I was growing up as a kid, okay? And Surfer, you probably, Phil, you know this. When I was a kid, okay, We've talked about this many times. We all had multiple wrestling shows we watched. Let's exclude Raw. Let's exclude SmackDown and NXT and 205 Live from this discussion, and that there's only Monday Night Raw. Well, on Monday Night Raw, Paul Heyman gets that one segment where he talks. We hit the rewind button and go back to 1990 when I was a kid, and there was WCW Saturday Night, the main event, WCW Pro, and Worldwide Wrestling. Not to mention also the Power Hour. So you got five TV shows. And a lot of times in those five TV shows, to give you an example, let's say Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express were in the middle of a feud with the Rock and Roll Express. There was a good chance that at least on four of those five television shows, Cornette cut a promo with the Midnight Express.
Accurate.
But not as lengthy as they are today.
Well, I'm currently watching Summer of 88 NWA. And right now the current, it's funny you bring up Cornette because the Midnight Express is asking for a tag team title shot against Arn and Tully. Mm-hmm. And they're all supposed to be friends. And in real life, Arn was best friends of Bobby Eaton.
Right.
So that and every single week Cornette's coming out once, maybe even twice. The Express isn't even wrestling, and he's cutting promos with David Crockett and Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross. So yeah. It's 100% accurate.
Flair cut multiple promos in a show.
Yes. Oh, so did Tully Blanchard. So did Tully Blanchard. Because at one point, Tully Blanchard considered himself still a separate entity with JJ and part of the Horsemen. Like, he was Tully Blanchard Enterprises with Baby Doll and JJ. But then he'd come out with the Horsemen with Ole and Arn and Rick, and they would cut promos. And then they'd get Luger, and you know how that goes. But there was a lot of guys that cut multiple promos. Gary Hart did it too, and Gary Hart came back. And when Ronnie Garvin turned on Dusty, and Ronnie Garvin went with Gary Hart, and he had Gary Hart and Al Perez, and he would come out multiple times. Kevin Sullivan did it with the Varsity Club. A lot of guys did it, though, if you watch those old NWA shows. Yeah, so whether it was 5 minutes, 3 minutes, you know what I'm saying? It didn't matter. It was just to get the point across to hear them talk, you know?
Now, if this was, let's say, what year was WrestleMania 23? If this was 2007, okay, and you had Armando Alejandro Estrada with Umaga cutting three promos in a show, I would say, okay, that's too much. Because Armando Estrada, he cut a decent promo, but he didn't cut a promo that would justify cutting three in a show.
I think, you know, Serva has a point. I'm just saying, like, it's so bad right now that it's a breath of fresh air if Heyman comes out more often. You know what I'm saying? Because then at least you have – there's more of an incentive to follow somebody's storylines, you know?
And let me tell you something. I can't recall. I really, really, really would need to sit down and think about it that Heyman has cut a bad promo.
And my thing is, I don't want to see Paul Heyman turn on Brock Lesnar because we've been seeing that up 10 million times.
Yeah, we've seen it a couple times already, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the only way somebody could beat Brock Lesnar is for Paul Heyman to help you.
You know what? It would depend on the circumstances. But here's the thing. I would do it under the condition that I absolutely under no circumstances that whether Brock re-signs with the WWE or not, and we're not going to find this out until God knows when.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, we're not going to know. I would, if Heyman turns on Brock, that under no circumstances he returns to Heyman.
Yeah, like in 2002, that whole, year and a half before he left?
Yeah.
He was by himself.
He was by himself. So
he don't need to go back. That's correct, Double right. A.
So, and when he came back in 2012, the first what? Year he was without Heyman?
Yeah. Yep.
I never got a chance to.
Because Heyman was with Punk, right? He wasn't with both of them at the same time.
Heyman came back for Brock, but
He did?
Yeah, he came back for Brock.
He came back when Brock came back.
No, no, no. Brock came back by himself first.
Brock
came
back, like,
yeah.
Not long after that.
No, I think it was there was a good amount of time.
It was a minute, yeah.
It was a good amount of time. Hey,
it was a good amount of time.
Brock was by himself for a while. I'm thinking it was probably close to a year. I'm thinking. It could have been close to a year.
Did he come back before or after the feud with Triple H?
I think he came back right before he came back.
Yeah. Right, so Brock came back, fought Cena. Who did he fight after that?
He fought Cena twice.
Triple H.
Didn't he?
No, I'm talking the first time.
No.
He came back and he
fought
Cena.
Him at Extreme Rules right after WrestleMania. Right.
And then
he fought Triple H.
He fought Triple H, but I'm saying I think he came back after the first Triple H match. I think he came back leading into their match
WrestleMania. That sounds correct, because I think that's the year. Isn't that the year he fought the Big Show at the Royal Rumble, right?
I think so.
Yes.
So, anyways. So, yeah. Anyways, back to this match. Kevin Owens and Braun Strowman. Go ahead, Surfer.
Here's what I think may happen. Owens away get the briefcase. Some screwy disqualification.
And we got about 20 minutes left in the show, by the way. Right. So, for anybody who's listening.
This is going to be quick.
Go ahead.
Later on, he's not going to wait till after the match between Brock and Roman. He's going to try to cash in during the match. And then Braun's going to come down and lay him out, leaving him in the ring for Roman Reigns to pin him and get the belt.
Okay. All right.
That's
The way of getting off Brock. That's true. But then you got to worry about Brock rematch. See, that damn rematch.
Remember the last time Brock was sent home? He was suspended after.
But he was supposed to get a rematch that night.
Right. And he did something. They're like, you're suspended indefinitely.
I mean, they can give him the rematch and then give him some kind of shenanigans where he doesn't get the belt back. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to dominate in the rematch. But give him the rematch, though, regardless. But.
I just don't see no reason putting the belt on Roman Reigns at this point in time, but that's just me.
I'm going with Kevin Owens as well, but I think there's going to be something. It's not going to be a clean win at that. That I have a feeling. Okay, I know where this is going. Alexa Bliss versus Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. We'll start with Phil on this one.
I like to see Bliss retain, but we know it. They're going to give it to Rousey. They're big on her right now. She's putting asses in the seats, and she's basically selling out her T-shirts. She's uber popular with the kids right now, and they need to build on that. And Bliss being the transitional champion, I guess, at this point, because she hasn't had the belt that long. So, it's going to set up a lot of things. And it just goes to show my theory again, like I said a couple minutes ago, where they have enough girls now in the Fed, just not nothing to do with them. Because you got Nia Jax, and there's a bunch of chicks. And Alexa Bliss is really good. So, but I see Ronda Rousey winning, unfortunately.
Tony C.
Well, I guess I got to go with Round Face Rousey for the win. I just need an I hope this match main event. This match or AJ's match need to close the show. I'm hoping.
Well, I don't think that this is going to close the show.
I'm hoping. Maybe Vince sees what Phil's talking about. I mean, because I wouldn't be mad if he did. But Round Face Rousey going to win.
She's not too bad on the eyes.
That face is round, though. Good God.
Well, in slow motion, when she gets her face pounded in, she looks ugly, but anyway.
I've never seen a face that round. Perfectly round.
Alexa Bliss is obviously the better of the two in terms of the physical aspect.
On the eyes.
On the eyes in this match. But anyways.
And she's the easier of the two.
Yeah. Go ahead, Surfer.
I think Ronda Rousey's going to win. I just don't know if she's going to win the belt.
So you think there's going to be some sort of interference or... Okay, so here we go. Paul Heyman returned May 7th, 2012. So he did return after Brock's initial return, but it still was not immediate. So,
but it was close. I mean, it wasn't months and months and months between the two.
Well, anyways. Go ahead. Go ahead, Tony C.
No, I was just going to say it was a couple months before SummerSlam. Bad year.
Go ahead, Surfer. What were you going to say now with that you're picking this match?
I think Ronda Rousey's going to win. I just don't know if she's going to walk her with the belt. But they want to keep her winning. They might not necessarily want to put the title on her right away, because once she gets the title, who's there to take it off of her?
Exactly. I agree there. I think there's going to be some kind of something. Because as reported by WWE yesterday, it was announced that Alexa Bliss will face Trish Stratus at Evolution in October.
That might be a good match.
And I think that's going to be for the title. And it wouldn't surprise me if Trish wins the title and just holds it up immediately thereafter.
Put it in abeyance. Our favorite status.
Put it in abeyance, and then Rousey would win a tournament final.
Go ahead and say it. Round face Ronda. You know you want to say it.
She's got a ball head. You know, her face is the shape of a ball. And she, she's had her moments where she's looked a lot better. You know. And of course, there was an article.
She ain't Fast and the Furious looking wrong.
Hey, listen.
An article came out this week.
The face pound that she takes, you're going to lose some good looks.
And the article in an article I read that I think it was with ESPN, she didn't realize how much fun she was going to have in the WWE. So get used to it. Ronda's going to be around for a while, kids. Samoa Joe, AJ.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, neither do I. AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, WWE title is on the line. We'll start with Tony C.
TNA sacrifice.
That's right.
Well, TNA.
TNA SummerSlam.
Genesis. TNA SummerSlam. Dixon Carter, you always wanted to infiltrate WWE through their stuff. Now look, this is going to be a Dixieland match, double A?
No.
Or King of the Mountain match?
One-on-one contest.
Not a King of the Mountain match?
No stipulations.
No, X match?
Nothing. Go ahead, Tony C.
We're going to go with... My heart says Samoa Joe should win, but my WWE booking hat says AJ Styles, Anthony Joseph Styles for the win.
If that was really his name. Anyways. Surfer.
I really want to see Sloppy Joe win. And say he was champion for a month or two, you know, with a few. Because AJ could win and Joe could then put him out, which would continue the feud. But I'd rather see AJ have to try to get the belt back.
I'm going to give you my... what I see happening. Go ahead, Phil.
You like seeing Samoa and Joe in the main event Mafia suits you had on Tuesday.
Oh, God.
You guys keep dropping TNA references, but they've been doing this since ROH. Everybody forgets
that. How many? Who's in the main event Mafia again?
AJ, Samoa Joe, Sting.
Kurt Angle, Kurt Angle.
Three of them are in the WWE. Maybe they'll start the main event Mafia there.
Maybe. Go ahead, Phil.
Anyway, they've been doing this since ROH. They always put on a good match. I see nothing different from here. I think Joe's going to pull it out. And I think Joe's been... They've been doing nothing with him since NXT. It's either shit or get off the pot. Same concept with Finn Balor. I mean, I don't know why they have him around if they ain't going to do nothing with him. He's supposed to be this machine, this killing machine. And he hasn't gotten an opportunity because either he's in shitty feuds and or he's hurt. So like Tony C said, you know, my heart says Joe, but they're probably going to give it to Styles. But I'm going to pick Samoa Joe.
Anthony Joseph Styles.
I'm going with AJ Styles. Because I think they're going to have the rematch where Joe wins the title. And this is now goes back to me booking out the future. The next match after that is going to be Daniel Bryan versus Samoa Joe for the title at whatever that pay-per-view will be.
Another ROH match.
Maybe at Survivor Series. And from there, it'll be Daniel Bryan versus The Miz for the title, possibly at WrestleMania.
With The Miz winning the Royal Rumble.
With The Miz winning the Royal Rumble, maybe.
I ain't mad at that.
Now, that would be something.
So that's me booking the matches until WrestleMania. And, of course, Universal title is on the line. Brock Lesnar defends against Roman Reigns. I want to start with Phil.
As much as no one wants to see the belt on Roman Reigns, I don't want to see the belt on. I'm done with Lesnar. I'm just done. I love Lesnar to death. No, he does. They just don't have. It's one of those things where it's creative has nothing for you. That's what's going on with this shit, man. Like you can't keep that belt off TV anymore that long and pretend that it's okay in storyline. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's got to be some more relevance to that belt. There's got to be some kind of, continuity.
But let somebody else. Boomin won't bring it.
100%. I'm not. Like I said, I just don't want anybody but Brock right now. And I love Brock. Don't get me wrong. And whatever. They put it on Boomin, but at least Boomin's on TV every week. You know what I'm saying?
Feasible. That's not a good excuse.
It's the only excuse, Tony. It's the only excuse. There's nothing else for these guys. Creative has nothing for them.
That's like somebody keeping a job that do a bad job just because they show up to work. That ain't a good.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm gonna promote you to shift supervisor.
You suck as an employee. But I'm gonna promote you.
Like coming to America, maybe I'll get bumped up the fries. You know. But that's it, man. I'm gonna take Boomin.
You suck on fries, but I'm making you feel supervisor just because you come to work every day.
Thank you, sir.
Surfer, you're up.
Well, I already gave my scenario or how that's gonna play out, so you can just rewind the tape if you didn't hear it earlier.
All right. Press rewind on the 8-track.
Okay, Tony,
we're all gonna rewind the 8-track.
Yeah, really. We're real to real.
See, I'm going to look like a Negro Domus when that happens. That's never happens.
You look like a dumbass.
Dumbass?
And by the way, speaking of hats.
The hell with you, Tony C.
By the way, speaking of hats, I told Tony C, Daniel LaRusso told Kumiko that home is where you hang your hat, and that woman never wore a damn hat in the entire film. Anyways, go ahead, Tony.
Oh my God, Joe!
I revealed some shit to Tony C yesterday while that movie was on, and
about Karate Kid 2. My God.
Anyways, go ahead, Tony.
So many ancillary things.
We'll talk about that on Tuesday. But go ahead, Tony C.
Screw it! I'm going my heart on this and my head. Brock Lesnar's gonna win, and he's gonna be still the WWE. Universal / future UFC heavyweight champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first. The first man to show up on UFC TV with WWE belt, and then he's going to be the first man to show up on WWE TV with a UFC belt.
Well, he's not going to be the first man.
Brock Lesnar going to be the first person to hold the belt for 2 years in a long time?
Yeah, he'll be the first one. No. Yes. He won't make it to 2 years.
And I'm saying this, and can I say one more caveat on my pick?
Yeah.
If Brock Lesnar loses, we know that he didn't re-sign long term with WWE.
Now I'm gonna. I want to bring this to the forefront before I give my pick, and we've got 5 minutes left in the show. There was a report. One of the dirt sheets reported that Brock Lesnar requested a closed door meeting that'll take place at 4 o'clock today. So in 5 minutes, with Vince McMahon and some top officials at the Barclays Center. That meeting is to take place in the next 5 minutes.
He'll go in there and say, give me another million dollars or I'm not wrestling.
He's going to do what the Warrior did in 1991. $250,000 if you want me to work the main event.
Don't tell me. So, Dublin, you really think Brock Meyer?
No.
Eugene Lesnar?
He ain't going to do that. But you know what? Let me tell you something. If he came in there and said, give me $250,000 or any dollar amount within reason, it would be a drop in the hat for McMahon at this point. Okay?
Yeah.
But
I think it's more about
But I'm going to tell you.
Isn't he kind of the highest paid company?
He is the highest paid wrestler in the company right now.
Of course.
So but how do you ask for more money?
He's got that temerity.
The only thing better than money is more money.
I'm going to tell you something.
Man, I can see if it was a scenario where you got like Triple H and John Cena and maybe one other person making more money than you, and you're champion, you say, hey, you know, I need a bump in pay raise. I am your champion. But if you were at the top, if you're the highest paid player, I'm just putting it in sports terms, you don't go back and ask for more money.
Well, he's
ain't
Brock
no salary
Lesnar.
Cap in WWE. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
This ain't team sport.
He's Brock Lesnar. But what I'm trying to say is, if that ever happened, okay, especially with Lesnar in 2018, I hope McMahon would have the wherewithal and the foresight to say, you know what would be the better storyline? Me saying no. Could you imagine
him
McMahon
just dropping the belt?
Could you imagine McMahon coming out at the main event bell time tonight and saying Lesnar held the company up for money?
Yeah,
could you imagine how people would be for your main event
instead of giving Brock Lesnar money?
But could you imagine the reaction of the audience if that happened?
Vince Russo style at Bash at the Beach 2000.
Mm-hmm, exactly. We'll never see that piece of garbage again. Anyways, with that said, enjoy SummerSlam. If you're listening to us live, this program will be rebroadcast at 5 o'clock. If you're listening to the rebroadcast, enjoy SummerSlam, which starts in 2 minutes. And, of course, if the show is good, we'll do a post show. If not, we'll talk to you on Tuesday night on The Rant and give our thoughts. But if you're listening to either, whether we're live or on tape, and you're listening to us, we'll let everybody know whether or not we're going to do a post show. We'll make it event. We'll make the news known on Facebook and Twitter. So make sure you follow us at Rant AM Radio. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to us. I want to thank, of course, my panel here, my wonderful expert analysis, my panelists, Tony C, Surfer, and of course, Mr. Phil Rea. I'm Double A. We'll see you at the conclusion of SummerSlam. If not, we'll see you Tuesday night for another edition of The Rant. See ya, everybody.